Greetings, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you today in this very beautiful venue. And we have a panel with very distinguished guests with us. We have first Mr. George Alexopoulos, Deputy CEO of Hellenic Group, an executive member of its board of directors and general manager of strategic planning and new activities. We also have Ms. Vivian Bouzali, Chief of Corporate Affairs and Communications at Metal and Energy and Metals, formerly Mytilineos. And then we have Mr. Komu Kumar, who is Managing Director of Investment Banking at Nomura GreenTech. And we also have Mr. Konstantinos Mavros, who is CEO at PPC and Deputy CEO at PPC and CEO at PPC Renewables, which is a leader in the energy sector in Greece. So, Mr. Alexopoulos, George, I believe you have a presentation, a few slides that you'd show with respect to the energy landscape in Greece and globally. I think it will be very interesting, given that as we have a very volatile landscape right now due to the geopolitical turmoil and the turn to green investments, we would be very glad to hear what you have to say about. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you, Evans. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here. I'll try not to take too much of your time. I suppose this is how we turn the slides.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Just a couple of points I wanted to draw to your attention before we dive into Greece. I wanted to just briefly mention the key energy trends we're seeing today. There is significant growth in the final energy demand, about 20% growth expected from now to 2050. Oil will continue to play an important role. Its share is going to decrease, but it will remain important for the foreseeable future. And at the same time, new adjacent areas are being developed, like biofuels, hydrogen, synthetic fuels, carbon capture, and so on. The world is electrifying, and the share of electricity is increasing. And that growth in the electricity is mainly through renewables. Renewables are expected to cover 75% of generation by 2050. If we look into Europe a little bit, Europe is clearly at the forefront of energy transition and climate change mitigation. We should always remember that Europe is only 7% of global emissions, so its impact, unless others follow, will be minimal. But be that as it may, Europe is making a huge effort. So we expect carbon prices to increase to levels that will continue to provide incentives to investments. But this is not sufficient. We're going to talk about that. Electrification in Europe and renewables even more so, and massive investment requirements. The Commission estimates that it's about 1 trillion euro required every year to meet the climate goals. I'll leave this to you to judge whether it's feasible or not. Talking a little bit about Greece, my first comment is that in Greece, usually when we talk about energy, we mean electricity. But energy is not just electricity. We should remember that. So oil products still account for 55% of the total final energy demand. Greece is a hub in the refining sector. Major exporter, refined products account for 30% of Greek exports, and the bulk of our sales, and I'm talking about the sector, not just Hellenic, is export sales. So it is really an important sector for Greece, facing a number of challenges. It's exposed to global competition, it's burdened with high regulatory costs, and there are a number of necessary conditions to ensure that energy transition investments will happen. But I think I will leave that for for further down the discussion. If we move to the gas and power sector, natural gas is about 7% of the total final energy demand. It's 100% imported. There's no local production. Most of our imports come from Russia. There was a time during the crisis that the share of Russian gas in Greece declined, but now we're back to the pre-crisis level. So the over-reliance on Russian gas, I think, is an important challenge. There's also significant volatility, and currently LNG is not cost competitive compared to piped gas. Electricity is 26% of the total final energy demand. It is the renewable renewable electricity contribution keeps growing. We are already at more than 50% renewables in our mix, and there is a plan for substantial capacity additions from now to 2030. But there are also a number of challenges. We are already facing very high curtailment rates, and I know 3.8 doesn't sound high, but if you dissect that, you will see that most of the curtailments occur in projects which are connected to the high voltage grid. So the small projects get zero curtailment, the big projects already get about 10%. We need significant grid infrastructure to allow for this energy to be properly utilized. We need a more stable regulatory framework. And although I would like to remark that there is an improvement in the permitting process of renewables, it's still very slow and it's still very unpredictable and often ad hoc. So I think I will pause here to give a chance to my colleagues to also share our thoughts, and we will come back. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. I'm keeping this number, the 1 trillion euro per year of investment, and we'll come back to that. Ms. Bouzali, what do you think of the energy landscape and how it is being formulated?
Okay. I think regarding, first of all, I want to say thank you to Nicolas and Olga that for 25 years they have been gathering Greeks, decision makers here, and trying to connect them with U.S. market, a very difficult market and a big market in terms of Greeks, of Greece. But I think they've been doing quite a job, and I want to say that. Now, regarding the energy market, I think George has been explaining a little bit what is happening regarding the energy landscape. Whenever I talk to a well-educated audience like this one, I'm always confused on how much technical should I be, how much market-oriented should I be, and I will try to do the following. I will try to talk a little bit about what Metlen is doing in terms of the energy landscape, but not necessarily in Greece, Vangeli. Mm-hmm. We are operating in 40 countries right now, and we are doing 360 in energy, meaning that in Greece we are an integrated utility. And I'm saying that in front of Konstantinos Mavros. I'm doing well here along with they. So in Greece, we're an integrated utility. We own at 20% of the retail market. We have a goal to reach 30% in the near future, not more than 2 years. And we are in a very competitive market, along with both George and Konstantinos. And I think that the Greek electricity market is doing well. I'm going to stay a little bit in retail and saying and comment a little bit on what Alexandra Zdouku, the deputy minister, said before. She said that we need to answer to our people why they have to pay a high, historically high prices in Greece. And I can tell her that that might be true. Of course, they used to be a monopoly for a number of years. It's not anymore. Competition is there. However, if you compare electricity prices in Greece with Germany, for example, or other European countries, you'll see that the electricity prices in Greece right now are at least half of prices for the retail. In terms, of course, of pricing on the industry, she's absolutely right. We need to make sure that we help the competitiveness of the Greek industry, which is very high technologically advanced and very innovative, and in order to help them compete. So that's all, that's basically what we do in Greece. The rest of what I'm going to be describing as Metlen, we are all over the place. We are on global markets. For example, our RES business, renewable business, we are doing business in all five continents, from Chile to Korea, from UK to places in Africa. We have more than 10 gigawatts of projects right now across the world. We are also working with the ENF to, and Konstantinos Mavros, and I have to tell, to say that here, I mean, they have done a remarkable job of transforming their group, and a remarkable job also Konstantinos Mavros in terms of creating this regional strategy for in Europe, and I need to congratulate them for that. We're also doing we're big in generation. We're producing more than 15% of the energy being consumed in Greece right now. We're doing trading of energy, both gas and electricity, with a new hub right now in Switzerland, servicing most of Europe at this point, very successfully, I should be saying. And we are constructing thermal assets, mainly using natural gas, in Europe and not only. So this is a 360 approach to energy landscape, and we have been doing that from our base in Greece. Our newest projects that tap into the energy transition and what George was explaining of happening is our new projects on grids. Both Alexandra and George before, they said that if you want to talk about energy, and if you want to talk about interconnection, and if you want to talk about better pricing, both for retail and industrial consumers in Greece, in Europe, not in the United States, they have it here, you need to make sure that there are interconnections in Greece and in Europe, but also in UK. This is the biggest problem. So we are, as we speak, constructing the subsea link between Scotland and UK. It's a landmark project. It will help transfer green energy from Scotland to UK and vice versa. I don't know how much time I have, Vangelis. You tell me to stop. Yes, when you want to.
Let's complete a round. Okay. And we can.
So basically, that's what Metlen is doing in the energy landscape. We have been very good into looking ahead and predicting how the energy transition will go or not go, meaning that very soon our CEO and chairman, Mr. Mytilineos, said out aloud that this energy transition will cost a lot of money, will take time, will create problems in markets, maybe even political problems in markets, maybe, and you might be seeing some of this right now. So what we have done is we have tackled on each of those problems and create a business opportunity for ourselves along with the energy transition line. And I think we're doing that well. So I'm going to stop here. Thank you, Vakil.
Thank you so much, Vivian. Giving the floor to Komu and some key words about...
Sure.
Yes.
Sure, thank you. I'll keep it brief. I think George and Vivian did a great job in talking about what I would say the dynamics within the energy sector around Greece. What I will kind of focus my attention is really on capital formation, because at the end of the day, policy is important. The desire to decarbonize is important, but capital formation is the other element of the equation. And, you know, spending a lot of time in the U.S. in terms of looking at platform transactions or looking at capital formation, one of the things that I think is really attractive about Greece is one thing is, you know, your recent investment grade status. I think that's a big catalyst as folks think about renewables and especially as infrastructure funds think about renewable transactions where a certain level of baseline credit quality is needed. The other element of it, as you know, in the U.S., we had a recent election outcome. And from that election outcome, what we are hearing from investors is that they're still focused on the U.S., but they're more importantly looking at what else is out there, especially in Europe. And as a result of that looking out, you know, we believe that Greece could be an attractive area for a couple of reasons. A lot of the investors here in the U.S. and also in Europe are very familiar with investments in onshore wind, solar, which tends to be a high growth sector in Greece with respect to renewables. And then more importantly, they're what I would say the more concrete and less emerging areas within the renewables construct. But then more importantly, when you start to kind of peel that back and you look at storage and offshore wind, there's also emerging areas within Greece where investors could be interested in. As you know from the recent political outcome in the U.S., offshore wind is probably very difficult in the U.S., and there are investors in the U.S. that are interested in that sector and have been active from a capital deployment perspective. The other thing that investors are focused on is really project economics / unit economics. And one of the things that, you know, we're seeing in Greece relative to other European countries is better unit economics and project economics. And that's going to start to attract greater investor attention into the market, and especially with respect to renewables. So from a capital formation perspective, whether it's raising capital for projects or looking at M&A activity, you know, we do believe that investors are looking outwards from North America and outwards from what I would say Western Europe into other parts of Europe where there is a stable policy for renewable generation. There are attractive economics and there is a baseline of credit quality within the country and the off-takers that could make these projects, what I would say, attractive.
Thank you so much. That was really interesting. And Mr. Mavros?
Yeah, thank you very much. And once again, congratulations and thank you for the kind invite each and every year. I'd like to start with your comment, which is quite important, you know, building on the capital formation and how those projects are being deployed. And what we and I find very important is the credit stability in the region and especially from Greece and out of Greece. This is one major issue, and again, we need to keep the ball rolling, which is what investors need to see at any certain point in time. And this is the elephant in the room. Having heard Minister Zdoukou, having heard my colleagues here, I'd like to say that the elephant in the room is the energy transition itself. So there is, or we are hearing about some skepticism on how the U.S. elections or other geopolitical events would or are affecting the energy transition itself. And I'd like to state very clearly that our view, and I believe the majority of the views worldwide, would be that energy transition cannot go back. Why? Because there is an element that we should never forget, that the cheapest form of energy or the cheapest electricity can only be produced from renewables as we speak. And this will not change in the years to come. Having said that, speaking about prices, this is also quite important. In order for the prices to adjust downwards, we need to keep building and keep the ball rolling on the renewable space. We cannot just stop. We cannot do anything else. Now, the energy transition is reflected in the well-known pillars of decarbonization. We are doing this, and we are doing our part within PPC Group. We have a very, very ambitious and fast decarbonization program. We are building decentralized productions from renewables all over Greece and in Southeastern Europe region, where we envisage to be dominant in the years to come. And of course, we digitize vastly our operations in order for all these activities to interoperate efficiently. So PPC has been working very hard for the transformation. And I'd like to say a big thank you, Vivian, for acknowledging and recognizing this. Thank you. And why is this important? Because this is not an exclusive game, it's an inclusive one, and it's truly important to have this recognition and move forward. How are we moving forward? We are moving forward out of Greece. We have been establishing our position in Greece, serving our own Green Deal. And we have a massive investment program that exceeds 10 billion for the years to come in the next 5 years for Romania, Bulgaria, other geographies where we are present. I'd like to state a few numbers on the fundamental basis of the energy transition. So the 1 trillion figure that was mentioned is indeed a trillion figure worldwide until 2050 for the energy transition to become efficient. And there's another figure that relates to Europe, which where we should all be focusing. It's a 60 billion per year until 2050 for infrastructure in Europe. This is a massive investment plan that we are all serving. Now, PPC is doing its part. We are moving very, very aggressively, I could say. And we will be announcing more and more progress on our business plan.
Thank you very much. This is great to hear about the progress. I'm going back to Mr. Alexopoulos. And speaking of the massive amounts that are going to be invested for the energy transitions, where would you see the most opportunities in terms of the energy landscape?
Well, let's see what the investment forecast is for Greece. Last 10 years, the investments in energy were about 20 billion. For the next 6 years, if we take the national plan, it's going to be 30 billion. That's probably on the high side. But I would expect a number probably closer to 20 billion. And the mix is shifting towards energy transition investments. Renewables, storage, a bit of hydrogen, not much, and we can explain why. Networks, for sure. And the mix is likely to remain similar to that for the 20 years from 2031 to 2050. There are some necessary conditions for these investments, and we should be very clear about this. The first is we need a clear, stable, long-term regulatory framework. These are very long-term investment decisions, and investment decisions cannot be made without the necessary regulatory framework. The risk is simply too high. I'll give you one example. Green hydrogen. Everybody loves to talk about green hydrogen. Do you realize that for hydrogen to be green starting in 2030, you need to have either synchronization with renewables on an hourly basis or a grid with electricity, green electricity exceeding 90%? I think in a room of very experienced people such as yourselves, you understand what this means. What this means is that we will not see green hydrogen at scale outside of the Nordics, because the synchronization on an hourly basis, even with the use of storage, is going to be very, very difficult. The second one is when we're trying to achieve transition goals, we need to be technology neutral. We should not have mandates. We should have goals, and we should allow technology and markets to dictate how these goals should be achieved. And the last, maybe it's obvious, but should be mentioned, many of these technologies today are not economically feasible. So support, substantial support, is required. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's as simple as that.
Thank you very much. Indeed, a stable regulatory framework is of utmost importance for foreign investments and domestic ones. Let's hope that this will be realized. Going back to Ms. Bouzali, I believe you had a few slides where we could see a few things about Metlen and talk a bit further on that.
Okay, yeah, why not? And we can put them up. I think most of the people know all of that, but I'm going to comment on what I've heard. How do I do that? I think Konstantinos Mavros is right. We cannot go back. We're going to only go ahead. And we will do that in our pace, taking in consideration, and I'm not talking for Greece right now, I'm talking as Europe, and we will take in consideration that people need to pay their bills, so they need to be on a level that it's manageable. Industries cannot close down, as it's happening right now all over Europe. You see what is happening in many big countries. So those need to be open and stay open. And at the same time, of course, walk towards 2050, which is going to be net zero value. And along this way, we will have to use the renewables on offshore winds, battery storage, hybrid systems, and gas, oil, and eventually we will get to our goal. Until then, there are many opportunities in this energy transition, and I can tell you that apart from problems and regulatory issues and policies and all of that, which is common sense, there are many opportunities if you look ahead and not from the top. We are doing an investment in Canada, in Alberta, near. If you don't know where is Alberta, it's a very interesting place, very close to Vancouver. And this an investment that we're doing more than 2.2 billion Canadian dollars. And it's we went there because it's the biggest radiation in Canada. And I can tell you that, of course, Canada is a AAA country. It's a very, very favorable environment. And I can tell you that there are many opportunities, both in Canada and also in the United States, in terms of this energy transition. And many Greek companies are right now looking at that. So that's my second comment. And I don't know what is there to show you, but it's our global presence. And maybe I should say one more word if I have 1 minute. No, I'll take it.
Very good.
About the synergistic model that we have. I've been talking about metal and energy, and I forgot the metal part. The metal part, which is our metallurgy business, one of the biggest in Europe right now, the biggest vertically integrated metallurgy conglomerate right now. We own our own bauxite mines. We are the biggest owner of bauxite mines in Europe. And we are one of the few smelters right now producing green aluminum. We are using that, of course, because we have the rest in the energy, but also because this synergetic model using aluminum as a battery on negative pricing in energy has made us made a lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And it's really interesting to hear how metals can be used in order to balance a bit the negative prices in the market. It's a very interesting approach. Komu, a few words as to how Nomura is formulating the energy landscape. Just being conscious of time, everybody, that we have 10 minutes and we have a last round of questions.
Yeah, sure. I'll be quick. As bankers, we're really good at talking very fast. So maybe the first transaction that I'll talk about, which has just happened last week, is we recently represented VSP Energy, which is German headquartered vertically integrated renewables IPP, and we sold that to Total Energies. And so when you kind of think about that transaction, it really touches on some of the themes that we're talking about now, which is that is a platform that had a lot of exposure to wind and solar. It also had capability around services, but it's also diversified across multiple European countries. So when you think about our role is really helping the enabling capital formation when needed, whether that's through M&A transactions, so taking renewable platforms like VSP Energy, which is owned by an infrastructure fund, and then finding a home for them with Total Energies, which is going to take this platform to the next level of growth, or is taking capital and helping them find renewable investment opportunities, whether that's at the project level or whether that's at the company level. That's what we do, is that we are enabler of capital formation within the energy transition ecosystem. And we believe, as George alluded to, just touching on some of his themes, is policy support, political support, the longevity of that support and the transparency of it is crucial to attract some of this long-term capital, especially if you're thinking about institutional capital. For example, recently, the Masdar transaction in Greece was indicative of the future of what could happen with that transparency around policy and political support.
Thank you so much. That was really quick. Constantine?
Let's see if I got a quick
A few words as to how PPC formulates the energy landscape. And then we'll have a final round of questions with a few words wrapping up. Thank you.
We have been there for 70 years, more than 70 years, and our purpose has always been to electrify the country. So now we are changing the model as the world moves from a carbon economy to a sustainable one. That's what we do, serving our own Green Deal. So basically we have a massive investment plan for renewables, and this is hydro, solar, wind, it's also batteries, floating solar, floating PVs, offshore. And of course, on top of that, we are investing a lot on flexible generation because the stochastic nature of renewables productions need to be settled in order to flatten the line. And this can only be done via battery storage, grid systems, and of course, flexible generation that refers to pump storage or other forms of those investments. So this is the plan. This is the plan in Greece and other adjacent geographies. And we are moving, as we have already announced, towards 2027, where we have a first milestone, and then 2030 to serve the purpose.
Thank you so much. So for the final round, George, a wrap-up and a word to the investors who are present here.
Sure. We are very much focused on the energy transition, and it's not just challenges, it's also opportunities. I want to make this clear. We have an investment plan of about $4 billion for the rest of the decade, about a third of which is focused on our downstream business, and the rest is all energy transition related, be it in our core business or downstream, or in our very rapidly growing business of power and renewables. We have a short-term goal of reaching 1 gigawatt of operating capacity in renewables, and that will happen in the next 18 months. And by the end of the decade, we will be at 2 gigawatts installed capacity. We are already in three countries, Greece, Romania, and Cyprus, and we're planning to enter new markets in the region as well. We announced today the agreement for the acquisition of Elpedison. We agreed to acquire the remaining 50% from our partners of Edison, and this is a strategic move that complements very well our growing renewables platform. We're also expecting to resolve our other non-controlling associate position. That is the DEPA commercial position where we own 35%. So Hellenic Energy has moved from being a downstream company to being an integrated energy group with a growing second pillar in the power and renewables business.
Thank you so much, Vivian. A few words to the investors, as well as a few words about the opportunities in the U.S. and visas.
A few words to investors. Well, we have managed to multiply our numbers many times the last few years, and you understand that starting going back to 2009, Greece has been through a lot of issues and problems. So we've been through the Greek crisis, we have been through the COVID, we've been through the energy crisis, and we managed to get higher and higher and higher to our goals. We are very resilient, very solid. We know our business very, very well, and we can do that in a number of countries. Each country has its own different policy regulation mapping, and we can work through that in order to get the work done.
Thank you very much. Komu, how can Nomura help investors and companies achieve their goals?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I'll be very brief because, you know, this is kind of the commercial opportunity for us. But, you know, Nomura Greentech is one of the largest ESG investment banks globally. We have north of 145 bankers, both in North America, Europe, and the Asia Pacific region. And we really specialize in anything sustainability and renewables oriented. And we help clients and customers and investors with M&A, capital formation, also, and especially in Greece, we're also very active in anything debt capital markets oriented. So if there's a financing element, or if there's an M&A element or a capital formation element, that's really kind of our bread and butter. And really our franchises that we spend, you know, 24 hours a day focused on sustainability. We talk to the investors there, the companies there, and the incumbents there. So we're well connected to help you within that energy transition journey.
Sure, and from our part, regarding investors, of course, we are serving our business plan. We are, in some cases, ahead of the plan. We have a very systematic approach towards the 5 years ahead and more. More to come. We are investing in all kinds of technologies, and now, of course, PPC is serving as a global platform, eventually, in this part of the world. Now, regarding the broader investors' approach, I would like to say that, in my opinion, there is a huge opportunity in new technologies. So we are active in offshore wind. We are participating in the first pilot project in Greece in the northern part, and we are going to keep investing on exploring these opportunities. Within 2025, we are going to be delivering on the first battery storage systems. And of course, we envisage to be present in any technology like in the area of flexible generation. So if you see PPC Group as a platform, there is an opportunity in PPC itself. And for investors, there are opportunities on a European cluster level in Southeastern Europe as a region where we have chosen to be active and deliver on our plan. Thank you.
Thank you so much. A great thank you for all panel participants. Yes.